Let's pray before we look again at that passage. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. And we pray that on this slightly warm day, when we're feeling tired after the end of a week, we would be able to focus on the Lord Jesus this morning. And that we would see him in his glory and see his power over sickness and death and realize afresh what that means for us. Amen. It was the picture that sparked an outcry. It changed the policy of the German government, and it sparked a mass movement of refugees to Germany. The picture was of a little body, the body of a little boy washed up on the shore. A Turkish policeman came and picked up his little body and carried it away. But not before someone took the photos that resonated with millions and millions of people around the world. Such a cute, seemingly perfect little boy. Dead. It was such a tragedy. It seems that the death of little ones resonates with us in a particular way, doesn't it? All death is bad. But when little ones die, it seems doubly wrong. It is why civilian casualties are bad in a conflict. But when they're children, it is far worse. No one wants to see children, particularly their own children, die. And so we can understand the desperation of the dad that we meet in today's passage. You can see him again there in verses 22 and 23. When one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Jesus is back on the Jewish side of the lake, and he meets a desperate dad, a dad named Jairus. Jairus is a synagogue ruler, which means that he's a man of standing in his community. He's the kind of person that would be respected as he walked down the street. And yet here we meet him on his knees in public, begging an itinerant healer for help. That ancient Near East dignity that was so important to them is thrown out the window because his little daughter is dying. This is a desperate dad. He wants his daughter to live, and that's worth more to him than any dignity. I'm sure that if he had a precious gem or large amounts of gold, he would offer it to Jesus. Because Jairus' daughter is dying and he wants Jesus to save her. And thankfully, Jesus says yes in verse 24. But before Jesus can rush to the scene and heal, he is delayed. Look at verse 24. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman who was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Jesus does an amazing healing of a woman without even trying. It is interesting to note just how much detail Mark goes into here to describe the efforts of everyone else to heal this woman. And lots of doctors over a long period of time, but they have only managed to both empty her pockets and add to her suffering. And Mark wants us to see that this healing that Jesus is doing here is clearly beyond ordinary human powers. It is a spectacular healing of a chronic condition that mystifies the medicos of the time. Jesus once again shows his power over sickness. And it's not even that he had to try hard to fix the woman's health. He does it easily. Jesus has absolute power over sickness. But before we go on, we should clarify what healed the woman. Have a look at verse 34 with me. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." It was her faith in Jesus and not touching Jesus that we're told has healed her. And that's an important distinction for us to grasp, because it stops us from thinking that she was healed by some kind of special magic that Jesus has. There's this kind of healing power in him and she just needs to touch him and it will be automatically healed. And anyone who does that can be automatically healed. It's not like that. Jesus is not a magician. We saw last week when we looked at the first part of this chapter that Jesus is the Son of God Most High. And he doesn't heal by magic, he heals by God's power. And in this instance, he chooses to heal in response to the woman's faith in him. And we might ask ourselves at this point, does this mean that Jesus always heals in response to people's faith? That if we just believe, he'll heal us? No, that's not what this passage is saying. For Jesus is sovereign and can choose not to heal, even if someone has faith in Jesus. And sometimes he heals even when the person doesn't have faith in Jesus. Indeed, we saw such a thing as the healing of the demon-possessed man earlier in the chapter. I don't think any commentator would argue that the demon-possessed man had faith in Jesus. He didn't even know who Jesus was. And he was filled with demons. He was not someone who was trusting in Jesus. And yet Jesus heals him by casting out the demons. But in this instance, Jesus responds to her faith by healing her. And then he calls on someone else to believe. So you can see belief in Jesus is a bit of a theme here at this part of Mark's gospel. Have a look at verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." The synagogue ruler gets bad news. His daughter has died. And it would seem that there is no hope now. It's like that moment when the doctors come out of, when you're watching a movie and you see the doctors come out to the family in the waiting room after the operation and tell them that their relative didn't make it. It's not doctors that tell Jairus, but they know that she's dead. And they deliver to Jairus the bad news. "Your daughter is dead." The time for seeking help is over. "Nothing can be done now for her, Jairus. Don't bother the teacher anymore. She's beyond any healer. For you cannot heal someone who is dead." You can kind of hear, you can feel what the message that would come through is. But Jesus responds by saying him to not be afraid, but just believe. "Trust me," he says. And then he does the unimaginable in verse 41. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Jesus raises this little girl to life again just by taking her hand and speaking some simple words. She is restored to life again. And once again, the power is not in the touch of Jesus, nor is it in the magic words. We could touch someone and they wouldn't be healed. And we could say, Talitha cum, and no one would get up. No, it is the power that is in Jesus that is on display here. He is the one who has this power over death. He can raise the dead to life again. I understand that there was a boxing thing happening yesterday. I won't ask who bothered to watch it. But you know, Jesus is like the boxer who can defeat death. And it's not a TKO or a points decision. It is a knockout in the first round. Jesus has absolute power over death. And friends, that's of interest to us. Indeed, it's of interest to all who will die. And as I look around this room, I would hazard a guess that that is something that's coming for all of us. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but last time I looked, everyone dies at some point. And so we should be interested in this Jesus who has power over death. He can raise the dead to life again. And we're told in the Bible that he will raise to new life all who trust in him. And so the question is, do we trust in Jesus? It's a question that Mark wants us to be asking. Do we have their faith, the faith of Jairus, the faith of that woman who was healed? Do we trust him in life, but especially with our deaths? So let me ask you, do you trust in Jesus? Jesus is the only one who can deal with our greatest enemy, our own deaths. So do you trust him with your life? And friends, let me say that if you're listening to that and you can't say a clear and resounding yes, then come and grab me after the service. And let's make sure of that. Let's make sure of that. But friends, this is also a passage today for parents or grandparents, or uncles and aunts, or adopted parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts. It's one where we ought to be thinking, like Jairus, of those whom we have in our family who are little ones, or in our orbit. For today's passage tells us that although one day our child will die, Jesus can make them live again. So the logical thing to do then is to do everything in our power to encourage our children or grandchildren or nephews or nieces or children in our orbit to know Jesus and then, God willing, to trust Jesus. It is a bit of a mind shift because our society tells us all the time that what is important for our children is their health, their happiness, their education, their sporting success, their friendship circle, and a million other good things. And don't get me wrong, they are good things. But above everything else, the one thing that our children need the most is to know and trust Jesus. For only Jesus has the power to deliver them from death and all its consequences. Their spiritual development matters more than anything else in their lives because it affects their eternity. So, friends, let us put that as our first priority for our children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews or the children in our orbit. Let us pray that they would know Jesus, trust Jesus, and follow Jesus, for that is the most important thing for them. Let us read to them about Jesus from the Bible when they are little. And then as they get older, train them to read the Bible themselves. Let us surround them with friends who also trust in Jesus, and in a very Hebrews kind of way, they will then be encouraged to keep trusting Jesus. Let us show them by the way that we live what it means to trust Jesus and to follow Jesus. And let us make their spiritual development our number one priority. Why? Well, because it's vital that they trust in Jesus. For only Jesus can raise them on the last day. Raise them to eternal life through faith in him. Friends, we serve and trust the King who has power over sickness and death. So let us trust him and pass on the good news as a priority to the little ones in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for what we've read in Mark that shows Jesus' power over sickness and death. Thank you that we can see from this account written by Mark that Jesus has total power over that which we have no power over. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would trust Jesus with our health, and with our very lives. And we pray for the little ones in our lives that they too would trust and follow the Jesus who can raise them too. And we ask that you would help us to do all in our power to introduce them to Jesus, that they too may believe and live forever with him. Amen.